this episode of Risk, you'll hear...
I laughed like a maniac when I found just the right sound effect for poop landing on this guy's chest.
And you'll hear crying, bawling, sobbing, blubbering, weeping, wailing and whimpering. Because we're officially saying goodbye to the one they call Jeff.
Dear Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Mr. Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, wait.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Excuse me, Jeff.
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 Everyone loves Jeff.
Jeff, I'm serious.
Everyone knows the love I have for you, Jeff.
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 Jeff, I can't let you go.
Jeff, come on.
Jeff. Jeff or Jeff?
Listen, Jeff, please.
Come on, Jeff. You scratch my back and I'll kiss your ass.
Jeff had mentioned something about urinals.
Are you okay, Jeff?
Please tell Jeff to stop texting me about indoor skydiving.
Jeff.
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 Jeff. Jeff.
Wait a minute, Jeff.
Coming, Jeff?
Jeff, please.
You're kidding, Jeff.
Please, Jeff. I've got to know.
We need you, Jeff.
It's all right, Jeff.
Now, you've been living in a boy's world, Jeff, and for heaven's sake, stay there.
Jeff.
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 Jeff. Look, Jeff, we had two wonderful months this summer, but that was it.
Jeff's a good friend.
I remember Jeff.
Jeff, we're all right.
I remember Jeff when he was yay high.
Jeff was relaxed and funny.
Bye, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take it easy, Jeff.
Thank you for coming by, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
I appreciate all that, Jeff.
Great work, Jeff. We'd love to have you with us, Jeff. But if you're not, it won't make any difference because we're going ahead just the same.
You know that idea you can't stop thinking about? The one you want to turn into a business? It's time. Shopify has everything you need to launch your website fast and sell everywhere customers shop.
We just made it live and it's already sold out.
Oh my God!
Join millions of Shopify merchants who have turned their ideas into businesses.
You got my first deal!
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Treacherous ring roads lie ahead on our mission to reach Nana's. We must
go to Mackey's for black pepper and garlic McNuggets.
Navigation rerouting.
The main mission can wait. Take a side mission to McDonald's.
Available until the 29th of September from 11 a.m. while stocks last, subject to availability. Participation varies.
Your next family adventure awaits at Disneyland Paris. Explore Disney Adventure World and step into frozen stories. Team up with Marvel superheroes and share unforgettable moments with Pixar friends. Enjoy a family holiday this February half term. Price example, £138 per person per night on a 4-night Disney Hotel Cheyenne and 5-day ticket package for 2 adults and 2 kids. Book now at DisneylandParis.com. Price may change at time of booking. Total price £2,202.52. Kids ages 3 to 11, 14th to 17th of February 2027 arrivals, subject to availability, excludes travel.
For so many of us, sports strengthen the bonds we have with our hometowns, our friends, our families. They bring us together and color every aspect of our lives. From WHYY and PRX, this is Sports in America. Each week, we go deep with athletes, coaches, and fans. We'll take you into the triumphs, the heartbreaks, and the relationships that define athletes' careers and create the moments we remember. Join me, David Green, on Sports in America. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, folks. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and we're playing the funeral march behind me now because the time has finally come for the episode we call So Long and Thanks for All the Jeff, the Jeffisode. And if you remember nothing else about that title, don't forget the colon. There's a lot to say about Jeff Barr, mostly that he came up with the idea of Risk poo flags, but you'll hear more about that soon. Jeff was one of the most essential members of the Risk team from almost the beginning, and he was one of the only members of the Risk team for at least the first half of the show's existence. His contribution to the legacy of this show is immeasurable, but he has moved on. So we've decided to create this Jeffisode an homage to our longtime episode editor, including a walk down memory lane that he and I recorded, peppered with some of the Jeffish audio silliness you've come to know and love along the way. So now have a listen to this complete and total jackass.
My origin story with Risk was that at the time I was doing sales for a water and coffee company. Mm. And I was just desperate for stuff to listen to while I was doing this. And as a hobby, I was doing a monthly podcast that was very, very much like the kind of stuff that you were interested in at the time, listening to Some Assembly Required and shows like that. Very
experimental audio.
Experimental stuff. Yeah. And so at one point, my wife was like, here, listen to this show. I just started listening to Risk, and she was handpicking episodes for me that she thought I'd like. And eventually she said there was a call out for musicians. So I made an intro for Risk using the Risk board game commercial.
Risk.
Risk?
Mm-hmm. Risk.
Risk?
Yeah. Risk.
Risk?
Mm-hmm. Risk.
Risk?
Yeah. Risk.
Risk?
That is funny.
Risk?
Risk.
Risk?
All right. Risk.
It's a good time. Risk?
That's great. Risk.
Isn't that great?
Risk?
Yeah. Risk.
Risk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Risk.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
That's pretty
That's
funny.
Terrific.
I was like, wow, that's fantastic. And you let me know, oh, I also do this podcast called Mangled Meditations. And I checked that out and it was totally insane. Like, you know, like long form audio madness, very psychedelic. And there was one particular one that we want to run on Patreon for anyone who is curious about, because I think this was the one where I was like, wow, this guy is really creative. And it was a sort of a, it was a Halloween episode, and you did this long found footage sort of fictional story that the listener has to kind of be putting together purely from like accidentally recorded or some deliberately recorded audio journal. You know, kind of like Blair Witch, but in audio, right?
Right.
That kind of
right.
vibe. And I was so struck by it. It was such a great story and legitimately scary that I was like, I got to see if this guy wants to do more with us. But you and I became hit it off so much that you came on board, and that really changed things. The way we were able to like collaborate on stuff like Kevin Goes to King Camp or Beyond King Camp was just so two people really putting a lot of thought and care into kind of cinematic audio storytelling.
Looks something from a Norman Rockwell painting.
With my penis?
Kind of got the angle of the dangle going. The boing, boing, boing.
You know, the angle of the dangle equals the cubic of the pubic.
Penis!
Don't forget to thank the Lord for this bountiful penis!
Where do you put the penis?
Penis! Dangling there like an emotional penis, just hanging down. Dangling there like an emotional penis, just hanging down. Penis dangling there like an emotional penis, just hanging down. Penis.
One thing I do remember fondly is recording a, I think it was a ragtime version of a Stamps.com ad at, in your basement during one of those Denver trips. Yeah, and it was kind of like, we both came up with it in maybe 3 or so hours, and it was very authentically kind of, in my memory, kind of ragtimey feeling, you know?
Oh, mailing and shipping are very important, but going to the post office sure is shitting. That's why I love a certain little something called Stamps. You can buy and print your U.S. postage using your computer and your printer, too. We use Stamps.com right here at Risk and tell tales about butts and poo.
It wasn't nearly as epic as us putting together the earlier stamps.com. You had a pint of vodka or?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a late night and it was just a riot.
Yeah, well, there was, I don't know how many stamps.com songs we did. Like the one that's most famous, I think, was mostly me in New York coming up with stuff, sending it to you and having you work with it in this or that way.
Right. Yep.
Warner Brothers sound effects and stuff like that. And there were a few like that. There were a few in that kind of disco-y vein. Now, of course, the ultimate of getting a little too carried away with an ad is the psychic situation. Yep. JC approved an ad for a psychic, and I was just very upset with her because I was like, look, like the whole point of our show is that people are telling the truth. And to be advertising something which is so obviously a scam is kind of really embarrassing.
Right.
And so I tried to pull out. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. We really shouldn't have approved this. And the powers that be, the corporations, were like, that is not how capitalism works. Yeah. You said you would. And if you don't, you will no longer have a podcast. So I did record a psychic, and I finally took everything to heart of everyone's advice. Just be funny. Just raise your eyebrow. Just be like Conan O'Brien or whatever, you know, like the people who get paid $300 million per episode and, you know, do whatever you want with it. So I recorded a psychic thing where I just allowed myself to laugh at it. And oh boy, was that offensive. This week's episode is sponsored by Psychic. And I am told to tell you, they're the real deal. They're as gifted as the uber famous mediums you'll see, wait for it, on TV. If you're looking for a professional instead of some wacko with a crystal ball, then obviously Psychic is the place to go. Anyway, you can get a private, confidential phone or online chat reading anytime, 24/7. The first 3 minutes are free, plus it's only 75 cents a minute for a 30-minute reading, and on the teeny chance you're not satisfied, they'll refund your money 100%. Not sure where to start? Well, their customer care agents are also available around the clock to match your personality with a gifted psychic advisor, or you can browse psychic.com to check them out online. Take a chance that could change your life, especially with such a good deal on a highly respected psychic service. Just mention the promo code RISK17, RISK17. When you call 1-800 or sign up online at .com. Okay. Our final story.
And then I hear a very deflated Kevin just saying it word for word off the script.
Finally doing it just word for word and having fans write in like, what the fuck happened to you that you're advertising for psychics? Oh my God.
Oh, look, it's a surprise package. Big. Dick. Big. Dick.
Ho, ho.
Big. Dick. Big. Let's see what Dick does. Big. Dick. Big. Dick.
Be careful, Dick.
Big. Dick. Big. Dick. I think Dick is about to get into trouble. Big. Dick. Big.
Look out, Dick. Look out. Oh! Big.
It's too Dick. Late.
Big. Dick.
Let us see if Dick is hurt. Dick.
Big. Dick. I do remember taking a mountain walk with you one time, and I think, isn't that where we came up with the idea for whose scat is that?
Yeah.
We kept seeing various kinds of animal poop, and we were like, oh, hey, we should write a children's book called Whose Scat Is That? And
we
you know
still should.
We still
now
should.
That I'm doing all this drawing.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, the thing, we should. I mean, it could actually be quite helpful to families who go out on mountain walks.
It's not just a kid's book, it's a reference guide.
And then the final one was going to be some sort of like fetish, sexual fetish joke, which I guess we maybe should not include in a children's book, but I can't remember what it was exactly.
You gotta slow suck, and as you sucking, you gotta lick like you never licked, and you lick that shit like you licking a lollipop, like your favorite lollipop, and you ain't have it for like 6 years. Lick that shit like you licking that, but while you licking, also suck. Keep sucking, blow. Start blowing, blowing, blowing as you suck. Lick, 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 blow, lick, lick, lick. And if you have to add a finger, if it starts to get a little wild, add a finger. One finger usually does it for me. One finger, you got one hand on the titty, one finger on my coochie, and you sucking on my clitoris, that's what does it. That's usually what does it.
And then, of course, there were my orgasm recordings and my tickle torture recordings.
Yep.
Back in the day when the show was made as an artistic labor of love and it wasn't yet a business that we had to keep running, we would spend as much time creating stuff as we wanted. You know, the first, I don't know how many months the show was coming out, there were only 2 episodes per month. And we would often like be putting out an episode at the very last minute, you know, like
right.
Some of those things like Kevin Goes to King Camp or whatever were such epic productions between the two of us. It felt like we were guerrilla filmmakers, you know?
Yeah. As important as I've always felt about this show, there was one story that I was working on that sort of broke me for a while. That was, I can't remember what the story was, but it had a scat play scene in it.
Yeah. It was the first times.
Yeah. Everybody sees that as a beautiful story, but at the time, I was both feeling proud about it because there was a lot of sound design to it, but I felt violated by it too.
Well, just to set everyone up, this is a story. It's maybe a half hour long or 25 minutes long.
It's a long one, yeah.
The fellow's name is D.K. Anderson. That's the pseudonym he went by. And it's about, he was younger, so it was like a daddy-boy sort of archetypal kink relationship, right? And he was in his 20s, and the dom was in his 40s. And they had this developing relationship where they kept crossing new boundaries, where they kept experimenting with new things, starting with spanking,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And it's a really interesting story. It's a lot of the story is about consent and negotiation, basically, you know, and figuring out with someone, do you want to try this and I want to try this and how do you feel and processing it all. And it ends with a scat play scene, which is about 5 minutes long at the end of this long story. But the thing of it is, what people might forget is that you, as the editor, often have to go over and over and over and over and over and over and
right,
over.
Right, right. That was deep in the scene.
Right, right. So you were like, so that this part that a lot of people might find stomach churning, you had to stay with for a long time working on it over and over.
I laughed like a maniac when I found just the right sound effect for poop landing on this guy's chest.
We also found a perfect piece of music from, I think it might be in the movie Cruising. Music.
With songs they have sung for a thousand years.
It was by a group called the Scat Brothers.
I remember us featuring that one.
Which I think they were referring to, you know, the singing style.
Yeah.
They might have been going for a double entendre.
They might have been.
We should maybe feature them in Who Scat Is That?
You don't understand. I'm pooping my pants. You don't understand. I'm pooping my pants.
Hey, duty.
There was the time that I thought it'd be a good idea to make a Risk poo flag.
Oh, my God. Of course.
I was ready to drive from Colorado to New York to visit you and stop at parks and rest areas on the way just planting flags and dog shit.
Yes.
So, to promote Risk.
So, yes. So to let everyone know, Jeff has like the whole career, Jeff's whole career of Risk, he would come up with ideas about how we could promote the show better, you know, get the word out, make it viral, get it, you know, like people talking about it.
Right.
And I did get a real kick out of this idea. This idea was to take like a toothpick and a little like flag that
miniature flag. One side said, "This is shit." And the other side it said, "Risk is not this." And then gave the URL.
Risk is not this. And that's the advertisement.
That's what. Okay, not even the true story is boldly told. Just Risk isn't this.
Oh my God. I you know, honestly, like if we did have the money to like to make like a fuck ton of these and really get everyone who listens to Risk planting them in every spot of poo they find out there.
Well, if we get enough people write in, I think I still have the PDF. They can print their own poo flags.
Oh my God, that's incredible. While you're out on that nature walk trying to identify who scat is that, just plant these little flags.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of an enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
The choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Victory is yours.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Products of your imagination. Products of your imagination.
Folks, we're almost halfway through the Mickey, Fick, and Jeff episode from the guy who removed so many ums and uhs. You definitely need to check out Jeff's remarkable YouTube channel, No Idea What I'm Drawing, where Jeff does totally improvised phantasmagorical masterpieces of art live right before your eyes, and then the videos he creates of super sped up views of these works of art being created are just incredible. That's at No Idea What I'm Drawing. Now, we're going to talk about the legendarily bad mushroom trip that I took with Jeff in his home when Risk was in Colorado 9 years ago. We were worried that day that Jeff's teenage son, Aiden, might come home to discover a redheaded man losing his mind in their living room. But Jeff's wife, Arielle, came home to provide assistance just after I finally came down from the trip. And Jeff turned on an audio recorder, which you're hearing now. Jeff, that was... Wow. I have never freaked out to the extent that I did over the past couple hours. It all started off so pleasantly, looking really at the clouds and walking down the, you know, the road.
Did you guys go for a walk?
We started with
that's how it all started. And then I was like, ah, I feel like I should really, oh, I start to feel a little overwhelmed. And I'm like, oh, I just want to go to bed. I just want to go to bed. I just want to curl up with pillows and kind of like try to, maybe this is a mistake. But trying to relax in this case, in the experience we just went through, clearly wasn't working.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I always think of that moment because it's the best example ever for me of the fact that sometimes things just returning to normal is the greatest joy you can experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's that whole, you don't know what you're missing until it's gone. And then just getting back to the status quo all of a sudden is like pure ecstasy because what you just went through was so, so bad. So just to let everyone know, sometime maybe 2018 or 19, went out to Denver to do a show, and Jeff lives in Denver. So every time we've done a show out there, you and I have had a nice time together.
Right. We've had some adventures.
Totally. And at that time, there was a Risk fan who offered, hey, I can get you certain things from the dark web.
Yes. Yes. And before that, you were wanting to try DMT, and we just couldn't get a hold of any.
Right. And so
it was initially going to be me just kind of guiding you through that, because I wasn't interested in trying it at the time.
Oh.
And then you're like, well, you know, we could do mushrooms, and you brought your mushrooms from the dark web.
Yes.
I'd never seen anything like them. They were like vials of liquid.
Well, what it was so this fella, he was a Risk fan, and he reached out and he's like, hey, you know, because I was, I think, microdosing at that time on LSD as just a sort of like a help with antidepressant and sort of ADHD help. So I was taking, you know, tiny doses of LSD every morning. And so this fella reached out, this Risk fan reached out, and he's like, hey, here's how to get onto the dark web in order to get this stuff. And the first time I went over there on the dark web, I was freaked out. You know, I was like, look, I don't want the mere possibility of running into something like child porn or just anything like that. I was like, yeah. I don't want to see it. I don't want to risk it. So I asked this guy, could you just show me what's, because there was a site like Amazon there, right? There was a site a lot like Amazon where people could say, okay, these mushrooms have 972 people giving it 5 stars and people giving their reviews, right? And this one fella, I guess, had developed a sort of synthetic version of mushrooms, right? He had figured out how to make psilocybin
juice,
right? Something like that, right? So these little, like, I don't even remember what they look like, but capsules. And I had done them in, I guess, moderate amounts before and almost not had much of an experience with them. And so I'm pretty goddamned convinced that it was combining them with your mushrooms, which Jimmy Page had apparently held a seance with at some point back in 1973.
I went to a festival and ended up leaving with some mushrooms. And by the time we got to San Francisco, ran into a guy that looked over my mushrooms, is like, hey, you mind if I take some with me to a party tonight? I'm like, sure, we've got some leftovers. Then after his party, he's like, hey, thanks for the mushrooms. Hey, I've got some mushrooms for you if you want them, but be careful, they're dark.
Yes.
In this guess I'm like, okay.
And I'm convinced that you didn't tell me that there was darkness in those mushrooms after we combined them with my scientific experiment.
I feel like I remember telling you, but where we kind of screwed things up is you convinced me that you had a high tolerance for them. And so we took all the mushrooms and divided it into three, and I took 1/3 and you took 2/3.
Oh, really? So, really? Yeah. I deliberately took more. Oh, interesting. Yeah, because folks, what happened was, like I'm saying in that little clip there, that little clip is once the fever finally broke, you know, the extraordinarily profound relief I felt from coming down to what I consider like the most traumatic couple of hours that I've lived through. It's when we first took those mushrooms. So we were just walking around.
We just took a walk down the hill and.
Yep.
And you had commented that they were starting to kick in. I said, well, we should probably turn around and head back.
Right.
To the house.
And then to sort of relax, we did lay down in your backyard, you know, on like a little grassy knoll back in your backyard. And we were looking up at the clouds, and the clouds were doing all that sort of like swirly sort of, you know, it was very pretty, very like intricate little, you know, designs that the clouds were swirling around in. And
and then you started panting.
Yes. Like, that,
this is a bit much. Yeah, I'm like, let's go inside.
Let's go inside. And then I laid down on a couch. You know, I was like, oh, maybe if I can take a nap and just concentrate on breathing. And I remember the first big, you know, like me getting upset at you was you and I had created these massive, massive libraries of MP3s, all of which are now gone because literally everything I ever tried to save in this fucking internet era is now gone. Yeah.
We both had external drives. Very important ones fail on us.
Yeah, with huge libraries of music that, you know, are now just motherfucking gone. But anyway, so yeah, I was counting on you of being like, okay, we have lots of calming, ambient, Brian Eno and Philip Glassy sort of music to now put us in the right headspace for remaining calm and peacing out on this stuff. And I remember you were just kind of like, well, no, it's not that. Because I really especially wanted a particular Philip Glass album. And you were like,
I felt like I couldn't even work my computer at that point.
Things were
still on the rise.
Yeah. So I'm laying there being like, you know, I don't know what the hell you were actually playing. And, you know, we were just kind of, we kept bopping through different music that wasn't working and I was getting more agitated. And the way I've always described it is as this, that I started to feel like I was in the passenger seat of a car that was forever hitting another car. And I was on this kind of loop of my head about to bash through the windshield, you know, like being thrown forward with my face about to go through the windshield and then just kind of remaining in that experience of crashing and about to have my entire brain obliterated. That was kind of what it started to feel like. And at the time, so it wasn't until 2019 that a Risk fan emailed to say, hey, don't you know you have ADHD? And, you know, it's funny because
I was in therapy for about 25 years, right? I had a Jungian therapist. I had a marriage counselor for a while. I had a group therapy person. And I had a sex therapist. And visits to various psychiatrists over the years for antidepressants. No one ever mentioned this. No one That's ever crazy. Said, hey, maybe you have ADHD. It took a Risk fan emailing to say, hey, don't you know you have ADHD? So I went to my sex therapist at that time, and I was like, hey, and this sex therapist was expensive. This was back in the days when Risk was actually making money. So I said to him, hey, a Risk fan wrote this into me, and he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You got to go to a specialist for that. So I found a specialist, and I got diagnosed. But I don't think, but you've never been diagnosed, I don't think. And neither of us knew it at that time.
So I think I knew it, but I knew it in the same terms that you did. Like, he's a space cadet, you know, there wasn't any other label for it. And I was okay with that. My mind would sidetrack all the time. And, you know, I was having a good time with my sidetracks. So I didn't mind it so much.
Yeah.
Sort of got in the way of productivity, but can't have everything.
So I think that what really started to, the ugly part of the trip for me was that you are a mirror image of me in some ways, because I see that my own space cadetedness in you. And so I started to get especially upset at you because I felt like, oh my God, Jeff should be taking better care of me, but I'm not in good hands is how I was kind of starting to feel.
Right.
So I feel like I might've been like, especially like, mean to you or the thing of it is I was freaking out. I was convinced I needed medical attention. I was convinced I was dying.
I was scrambling on the phone at that point, like telling Ariel, my wife, come home quickly. She wasn't able to, but she was able to get our friend who's a nurse to talk to you.
Right.
And
her experience was, if you call an ambulance and bring it to the hospital, I'm going to have to be looking around at all the other nurses and doctors like, yep, here's yet another person who doesn't understand that if you have too much mushrooms, you have water and you breathe until it goes away. You don't go to the hospital creating a complete and total meltdown and craziness for them, right?
Right. So however, what happened was...
And here's the thing. We had worked on a Risk story that, unfortunately, the guy had never allowed us to run about exactly that. About, like, months earlier, we had worked on a Risk story about a guy who overdoses on mushrooms, freaks the fuck out, calls an ambulance, goes to the hospital. They're like, oh, for fuck's sake, not one of these mushroom people. And they're just like, you just got to drink water and breathe. I was very conscious of that. But my lived experience at the time was like, nope. Nope. Yeah. I am the exception here. I need an ambulance.
Right. So there's Kevin pacing about my front room, two buttons into 911.
Yes.
Ready to dial. I'm like, please don't call. And it was very much a standoff. And Kevin looked exactly like the logo for Risk at that moment.
Yeah.
I need medical.
Oh my God! If you can just imagine me, just like pacing around that house like a madman. Yeah, and oh God, it was it was traumatizing. You know, I did think, you know, like, I think that kind of what happens when a lot of people overdose on psychedelics is it's so distressful because you feel like your psyche is off, out of control, and just might explode or something, right? It just feels like I don't have a grip anymore so much on who I am or where I am or what's going to happen next or what, you know, what life is. And
so your world was torn apart, and I was freaking out with you because I'm like, please listen to me. We can't have the ambulance show up and the police and everybody.
And it's so funny because you might have been having a pretty nice trip except for having to deal with this complete maniac just pacing around your house. Like, I was very much like someone in some movie like Boogie Nights or Taxi Driver or something like that. Just like, you know, like completely out of his mind.
Right. So after the standoff, I get you on the phone with our friend, the nurse. She calms you down enough to give you the idea, you know what? I need to shower. Can I use your shower? I'm like, please, whatever you need.
Oh, wait. I remember. So I kept drinking water and I kept focusing on breathing. And here's the thing. I would inhale. You know, I would be very mindful. Okay, you've got to breathe. The nurse says you've just got to breathe. So I would inhale and then not be able to exhale without screaming.
I remember that.
So it would be like, okay, breathe in. And then the breathing out would just be like, And so it's like, oh my God, what a symphony of horror. And this went on for about 2 hours. I mean, it was just nuts until, I tried laying on various beds, you know, like maybe this bed will have the, and then just.
Well, it was the shower. It was the shower that fixed you. And there's this next clip. After your shower, Ariel did show up and you were finally better. And that's when I had the idea, I should get the recorder. I wish I had the recorder during the freakout, but that's where we're at with the recording.
Here's what I remember. What I remember is after so much time trying to breathe in and out and trying to lay back and all that sort of thing, I went into the bathroom. And the first thing I did was simply sit down on the toilet. I don't even remember if I was trying to pee or what, but I was just sitting there. And then suddenly, in that way people talk about in ayahuasca journeys or others of these sorts of things, suddenly the clouds lifted. Just suddenly there was that, the drug did that shift of, okay, you're out of the
worst of it.
The worst of it. And now you're in a coming down and relaxing phase. And it was so palpable. And like I said before, I have never experienced such joy just to return to normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of that recent Fixie story of just being tortured.
Yeah. And
only for the fear.
Also, like the Fixie story, there's a certain gratefulness for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I do feel like there's so much to be gained, so much deepening, and so much expansiveness to be gained by going through really intensely uncomfortable stuff. Like, you know, that's the Jungian theory, is that no, if you're avoiding all of that stuff too much, you miss life. you know, my memory of coming out of that bathroom once the fever broke was that I literally started dancing for joy and your dog started barking, you know, like in panic about me dancing for joy. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, I just ran around this place screaming and yelling for an ambulance for 2 hours and now I'm dancing for joy and now you're like, what the fuck? But yeah, I'm so grateful for you and for Ariel and for your friend, the nurse, you know, because all three of you were so helpful throughout that whole thing. And yeah, it ended up being, it ended up turning into a little bit of a weird therapeutic experience. So all these years later, apologies for putting you through that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a much different, so the next day you were on cloud nine, you're just like, I made it through. And I'm like, I almost had some resentment with you for a while for not trusting me in the moment because you were so close to calling emergency on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Situation.
I'm sure.
So, but it was, it was interesting. This next clip you're talking about, this being the craziest thing you've ever lived through.
You know, it's also interesting, like, I also have an obsession with madness, with narratives of madness.
I always have, too.
Oh, yeah. So many of my favorite movies are, like, Apocalypse Now or Citizen Kane or Vertigo about, or 2001, about people just getting... falling down spirals of like...
Right, but you were totally in a spiral like 20 minutes ago. That was a vicious...
That was something else. And I'm really honored that both of you guys like experienced that and were okay with me and like supported me with
because that was the craziest thing I have ever lived through.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, it's funny because I don't know if it was like a year or two later that we did manage, or maybe it was, I don't know when in the timeline it was, but we did actually manage to get some DMT at some point. Yes. And you were going to help me take that. But that was the week that Brett Kavanaugh was up for, you know, was being grilled about being on the Supreme Court. And I was like, my psyche is so fucked up about Brett Kavanaugh. I don't think I can do something like that. Which now, you know, it's funny because like something like Brett Kavanaugh is like happen. You know, something like that is happening like four times a day now.
Well, at least that was a successful way of getting drugs sent to you, unlike the body scrub.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now tell about that.
I told Kevin I had some hash that I wanted to send him, but I was going to send it in a little container that was actually, I covered it up with body scrub. It was inside of its own little plastic parcel.
Right. To send Denver to New York. Right.
Yeah. And you get this thing, and I remind you again when you got it, it's dig for it. It's underneath the body scrub at the top. And you're like, uh-huh, okay.
I mean, I think it was literally called bath salts.
Yeah, you were smoking bath salts of some sort. You didn't dig for it. You just...
Right.
Spooning it off the top.
Yeah, I was confused about what exactly it was in that package and how it worked, and so I think I was for a little bit there for, maybe just once or twice smoking some sort of crystals that you're supposed to put in your bath to make bubbles for a bubble bath.
I think it was more like an exfoliating scented scrub or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
After the third or fourth time that you smoked it, sometimes not by yourself, you found the hash
right at the bottom of the bottle or whatever, or the container.
Like, oh wait, this is what I was supposed to be smoking all along.
Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
What happens when two people who grew up in a very strange corner of Los Angeles look back and realize just how bizarre their upbringings really were?
They start a podcast, of course.
I'm Ashley Johnson.
And I'm Taliesin Jaffe. Before we became the internet people we are today, we spent our childhoods as working actors, appearing in shows like Growing Pains and films like Mr. Mom.
In our podcast, Weird Kids, we're diving deep into our unique upbringings, our friendship with each other, and all the delightfully odd interests we still carry with us today.
In each episode, we get to share stories of our youth, the things that bring us joy, the problems that we face, and occasionally, the friends we've collected along the way.
If you're a misfit, an outcast, or just a weirdo who loves all things nostalgic and unconventional, come take a seat at our table.
Each week, we'll be releasing previously members-only episodes on YouTube and all major podcast platforms, with new episodes dropping exclusively and ad-free on Beacon.tv.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Help. Help me. Danger. I see blood. Are you okay? You are correct. Help. Police. Fuck you, bully. I win.
You know, we're at this place now where I'm like, oh, wow. Having made it through is... there's something remarkable about that. I mean, that's our job, is to constantly be sharing people's stories of being like, what the I don't know if I can deal with this. And then making it through.
You're always looking for that moment in the story, that transcendent moment where just everything changes or clicks for someone.
Yeah, finding the wherewithal. And as someone who has struggled with depression my whole life, I often think that the show and my workshops are the ultimate things that keep me going. Because... there are just all of these examples in Risk stories of people finding so many different ways in so many different nooks and crannies of their psychologies or their experiences of
making it through. So I'm always feeling like, because I'm so often wrestling with this overwhelming sense of hopelessness or self-loathing or just pessimism, all this stuff. Mm. It's such a touchstone for me. It's such a grounding thing for me to then work on the show and constantly be thinking, oh, well, this person was able to get through this thing, which right. which sounds like my mushroom trip only 5 years long.
right. But I mean, as intense as the mushroom trip was, it's now just, you know, a minuscule little moment in your past. It was not, I mean, you probably don't think of it.
Oh, right.
Very often at all. But at the moment, it was the most amazing thing that you had made it through.
Yeah. Really something.
You were just beaming the next day. It was just...
Yeah. Well, I just remember just this...
the glow.
Yeah. A feeling of full body joy of... Yeah. We're going to have a story on the show very soon about a fella in Bangkok that went through a totally different experience. But at the end of it, he felt like, oh, my body... I didn't know what the fuck to do in that insane incident, but my body found a way to make it through. And like, then he just felt this tremendous bodily relief too, as if his body was saying, see, I got you through that.
Yep. It's been a fun journey. It really has.
Yeah. I mean, there was a long time there where it was mostly me doing the creative direction of the show.
Yeah, for a while it was just you and me making episodes.
Right. It was you were doing all the editing, I was doing all the like curation of the show, and JC was doing the turning it into a system of that could become a business. And I mean, I knew back in the day when we started it, you know, being an old lefty and all, I was like, well, this exciting new thing called podcasts will probably be completely overtaken by corporate fuckery. And of course it has been. And so it's, you know, there was a kind of a turning point where it kills me that a lot of the show's identity has since become like begging people to help keep the damn thing alive. You know what I mean? Like, it was hard to even take on like doing ads when we first did ads, because I was such a purist.
Yeah.
Thank God that there are people out there who hear that and do care and do help us out. But it's been one hell of a ride, and you're like so foundational to how the show evolved and what it all accomplished. It's just
it's been an honor to work for Risk, and I've always felt the importance of the mission. Down here. So
yeah, I think that, you know, it's whenever you get the hankering to make another little bit of insanity for the show, please bring
it on.
For
sure. All right, will do.
Well, that is all, folks. Don't forget that incredible episode of Jeff's old podcast, Mangled Meditations, can be found on our Patreon. And really and truly, don't miss his art channel, No Idea What I'm Drawing, on YouTube as well. If we can find the instructions and downloadable kits for making poo flags, we will put those back up on our website as well. Thank you so much to our entire team for pouring so much tender, loving care into this episode, especially our Jeffisode editor, Hope Brush, but JC, John, Cindy, Brad, Taj, and our newest team member, Michael McFadden, jumped in too. But most of all, thank you so much to the whole Bar family, and especially the one they call Jeff. Jeff has always been a tiny bit nervous about coming onto the show and talking about himself, but after 17 years, it finally turns out there was nothing to worry about because that annoying show host barely let him get a word in edgewise anyway. Folks, on Thursday, we're re-releasing the Best of Risk Inanity, a spectacular compilation of interstitials, songs, and audio weirdness from the show over the years, much of it by Jeff. And if you hear this in time, see Risk live in New York on September 8th. Tickets are at risk-show.com/live. And jump in on one of my online storytelling workshops. There's one starting on September 2nd, another on September 13th. Email me at kevin@risk-show.com to learn more. And of course, you can help keep Risk running by joining us at our Patreon or by making a one-time donation at risk-show.com/support. Folks, today's the day. Plant a poo flag.
So long and thanks for all the Jeff. My compliments to the chef. Now before we beat this horse to death, say goodbye and thanks for all the Jeff.
So long and thanks for all the Jeff. You know not much rhymes with Jeff, so sing it out in one long breath. Au revoir and thanks for all the Jeff. So they're fortunate to reach out through the internet to connect with the one that they call Jeff.
Jeff, from all us jackasses, you'll always be Captain Jackass.
Hi, this is Mike. I just got here and I have no idea who Jeff is.
Jeff is so nice and Jeff will be missed and Jeff makes me laugh. I love you, Jeffrey, and it's quite, you know what I mean. I'm gonna miss you, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, we have no idea what we're saying.
BFF. Hey, this great guy sounds great. Let's all sing to Greg.
BFF is nicely cloven.
So long and thanks for all the Jeff. Yeah, let's all beat this horse to death. It's not some kind of show. So tell him, hey, thanks for all the Jeff.
Thanks for all the Jeff.
lunch with Jeff.
What about
Elf?
Oh, you
enjoy your
fun
thanks for all the jazz.
So come on, let's beat this horse to death.
I've been meaning to ask, anybody know who's Jeff is? Jeff? There's no Jeff that works here, right? Was that before I got here? Did he have a nice butt? You know, John's got a really nice butt, I've noticed. Have you guys noticed that? Nobody else has it. I like it. I think it's great. Next time, you get a chance when he goes to get water or something for then you see him on his computer. Great butt, really great butt, yeah. But Jeff, huh? Really? I do not remember Jeff. I'm sure, are you guys sure it's not Brad? You guys sure you're not thinking of Brad, who used to work here? Oh, you guys mean David? David Crab? That would be pretty wrong though, to confuse David Crab with Jeff. You know, that's pretty far off.
My dearest Jeff, I love how you are funny, both intentionally and very much unintentionally. I love how you'll say funny things and make us laugh in meetings, and also then how you'll get up, turn around, and scoot away on some funny surgical device and not realize how hilarious it looks while we're all laughing to ourselves. Not at you, but with you, because you're so goddamn funny. And I love your love for your dogs and your family and your upbeat nature, even when things are tough. And I love your different haircuts over the years. Some of them ill-advised, some of them not. But, you know, that's hair for you.
Wait, who's Jeff?
Legendary flavors from legendary Xbox games are now at McDonald's. Crispy golden garlic and black pepper McNuggets. Cheesy potato bites from Fallout 76 and Candy Crush McFlurry. The main mission can wait. Take a side mission to McDonald's.
Available until the 29th of September from 11 a.m. while stocks last, subject to availability. Participation varies.